Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church as we worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And just a very special welcome for all the mothers that are here today. If you're able, will you stand and just let us recognize you, all mothers? Or raise your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for all that you do for your children and everyone else. A few announcements to make. If you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down, you can put name, address, email, telephone, and we would appreciate having that information. For all you session members, we will be meeting this Wednesday, May the 11th at 7 p.m., we have a celebration of baptism today we're excited about for K. James Turner, and the family and friends are here today for that. We're getting new hymnals. If you would like to purchase a hymnal, and there'll be stickers in the front of the hymnal, you can give it in honor, memory, celebration of someone. They're $30 a piece. You can buy one. You can buy as many as you would like to. And just be sure, if you put on your check, you fill out the form. If you put it on the check, be sure to write hymnals on that. The treasurer, David Slover, is resigning at the end of the year. He's been doing it for a couple of years and just a fantastic job, but he's ready to turn it over to someone else. Valley Gardeners, there's a sign-up sheet on the back. And let's see, I thought I had something. Dan Nelson has rotillaed the garden plots. They're ready. He's asking if anyone to volunteer to help time for general upkeep and repairs, improvements, and you can see Kathy Segi for details on that. Saturday, June the 11th, the Women's Association is having a family night out. The evening will include dinner, entertainment, and a Chinese auction. Please plan to attend this free event. If you're able to donate something for the Chinese auction, please see Lorraine Kelly or Arlie Cornelius. Hope to see you June the 11th. That's exciting. Food Bank, we're not taking up food anymore, but we are taking up money to give to the food bank down in Edna. So as always, be sure to designate on your check that what's that for, or maybe writing one check for your tithes and part of that, but put in the bottom how much would go to the food bank. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise 287, Our God Has Made Us One. And let our worship continue with the prayer of confessions you find printed in your bulletin. Dear God, we worship you as our heavenly parent. We believe you love us as a mother loves her child. Forgive us when we fail to return your love. Remind us of our responsibility to teach children about Jesus. Help us to be caring and forgiving with our family and our friends. Teach us to pray for one another as Jesus prays for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us this morning find a sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Let's take a moment to greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask. Lovely. Our responsive reading, back of your hymnals, 630, Teaching Children. 630, Teaching Children. Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren.
Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess.
That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged.
Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may do well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart.
You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
I invite the elder on the door to come forward with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, Kathy Segi has a prayer request for Brittany Wooderick and Matt. They are friends of hers, and they were in a bad hit-and-run car accident on Friday afternoon. There were no major injuries, but she's asking for prayers for healing and that they're able to find some positives in the situation. Also, a praise request from Bob and Patty Hall. They are proud and thankful for Amber graduating from Robert Morris University's with honors yesterday, and Amber will be continuing her education in August, pursuing a master's degree at Pitt. So congratulations to Amber and Bob and Patty. And special thanks to Patty Gamrod for the Mother's Day gifts for all the mothers. Thank you. And just a last praise request for all of our mothers. Everybody's got one, and we're all very blessed to have them. So praise to the mothers.
As we go to the Lord in prayer, we've got a lot of visitors. So as we're praying, we will go into the Lord's Prayer. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our heavenly parent, for caring for us, for looking out for us. And we know that you have characteristics, both male and female. And today we thank you for mothers, for those who love their children, who take care of them, who feel responsible for them, who try to teach them good values and lessons in life, who proclaim to them that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help them come to church, junior church, fellowship. So important, Lord. We thank you. All these prayer requests that we're lifting up to you today, we know that Jesus Christ is our high priest. When he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand, and he presents our prayers to you. Not only do we pray, but Jesus prays with us, caring for our needs, our hurts, sharing our joys with us. That is so wonderful to know, Lord, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You stand by us every day. Even when we fall into a sin, you are still there loving us, calling us back into full fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us and will do throughout all of eternity. And we thank you that before you ascended, you gave your disciples this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song, Knowing You. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for each of us that our sins, when we accept you, are taken away and cast, and we are become as white as snow. And we thank you for the power of you to ascend into heaven and then to send your Holy Spirit
back, to do your church with power and authority. Bring things back to our remembrance and give us gifts so that we can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. As Pastor Glenshaw Valley, I thank you for every dollar that is given, for every kind word that is spoken. Everything that the members of this congregation do as individuals and as the corporate church for your glory. Lord, I ask for your blessings upon each and every one of them. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from John 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all in one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Bless the reading.
Cleveland Indians pitcher Bob Feller and Minnesota Twins outfielder David Spann have something in common. These two players from different eras in Major League Baseball both hit foul balls and hit their mothers with the ball when they were in the stands. Actually happened. One had a collarbone broken. And when I was at a Little League game, I think one of my brothers was playing and watching the game. My grandmother was sitting at the right field line in a chair, right where the post is. She wasn't looking. Someone hit a line drive, hit her in the head, knocked her out of her chair. Sometimes things happen. But fortunately, all those mothers and grandmothers made full recoveries. So we honor our mothers today. Mothers make sacrifices, and we are so very thankful for everything that you do for us. As someone has said, the hand that rocks the cradle usually is attached to someone who's not getting enough sleep. It's not easy being a mom, even if your son doesn't hit you with a foul ball. Maybe you can relate to one mom who wrote into Reader's Digest. She says it had been just a horrible, terrible morning, and she was all stressed out. Her three kids were just driving her crazy, and she couldn't take it anymore. So she went into a closet, and she just screamed bloody murder. And she said, I just felt so much better just doing that and getting out. And when I walked out of the closet, there were my three children standing there with this wild look on their face. And the little five-year-old boy said, Mom, I told you there was a monster in that closet. I bet those three kids stayed away from that closet till they were grown. Being a mom is not easy. It's, I think, the most important and most difficult job in the world. It is our moms, and with helps from dads, of course, to whom God entrusts our care until we're able to make it on our own. Our lesson for today comes from the Gospel of John. The setting is Maundy Thursday, and after the symbolic washing of the disciples' feet, Jesus prays what has come to be known as the High Priestly Prayer. This is a rather lengthy prayer in which Jesus first prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples. The final portion of his prayer begins with this verse. He prays for the future of believers. Listen again to this portion of Jesus' rather lengthy prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. And he is referring to his disciples and apostles while he was upon this earth. So I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, and that comes all the way up to us in 2016 today. So Christ is praying for his disciples, and he is praying for each and every one of us. And the first generation of Christians, all who believed in Christ, did so through the witness of the apostles and the disciples, whether directly or indirectly, whether it was an actual one of the apostles or whether they taught someone else and then they went out and proclaimed the gospel. And that chain of believers continues to this day, our responsibility to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And to this day, Christ prays for all who believe, all of us who are saints. And when I say saint, I don't mean that we are so good or so better than anyone else, just that we have been cleansed by the blood and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus prays, he prays for us. That should bring us, I think, some great comfort. Great Scottish preacher Robert McShane put it this way: if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Let us know that Christ is in the room with us in the throne room of glory when we petition God, our Father, with our prayers. Hebrews says that Christ is still interceding with the Father in our behalf. We read in chapter 4 of Hebrews, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith which we possess or profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." To me, that is incredible good news. When we bring our request to God, Christ is right there beside us symbolically, interceding in our behalf. Reverend Melvin Newland tells a powerful Mother's Day story that comes out of World War II and a horrific Holocaust, and I've been telling some stories about that lately because I don't think we should ever forget. It is a true story of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Solomon and his wife and two sons, as well as Solomon's mother and father, were taken into one of the Nazi prison camps. It was a labor camp, and the rules were very simple. As long as you could do your day's work, you would live and come back the next day to work again. But when you could not do your day's work, you were taken and you were killed. Solomon watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, and he knew that his youngest son, David, might be next because David had always been a very frail child, even from birth. Every evening he came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and then thank God for one more day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back, and he didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled up, just weeping, crying uncontrollably, and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." And Josh turned to his dad and said, "Yes, Dad, it's true." Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him. So the father asked, "But where's your mother?" "Well, Dad, when they came for David, he was afraid, and he was crying." And Mama said, "There's nothing to be afraid of, Dave." And she took his hand, and she went off with him. It's a sad story of a mother's love for her little boy. Now transfer that image to yourself and Christ, with Christ in the role of the mother. Fearfully, you approach the throne of grace because you know that you're not all that you are meant to be. Even though you've been forgiven of your sins, you're still sinning even as a Christian. You have no merit at all, really, to petition God for his love and mercy. But alongside you, there stands Jesus, I believe with his arms wrapped around you, saying that he forgives you, giving you confidence to pray to the Father. Jesus reassures us that when we come to God, as any child may come to a loving, caring parent, we can pray as God's children with confidence. In this passage, Jesus makes a specific request on our behalf. He prays for our unity. That is where we draw our strength. We are bound together with one another and with him and through him. Listen to these words again. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in I, and I am in you. Pastor and popular author David Jeremiah says that his church once built a ministry in what he called the triple chord prayer ministry. You take a piece of string, just an average piece, and you can snap it. But you take three pieces of string and wrap them together. Now you cannot snap it. It is stronger. It is a good, solid bond. Alone, I think we can be broken. But together as family, as friends, and as the church, that, I believe, is what keeps us from being broken. The pastor one evening was having dinner in a restaurant and happened to sit next to a young couple. He began to talk with them about how they felt about religion. They were a deeply committed young couple. They loved the Lord very much, and they talked about their concern for the unity of the church and how in Jesus Christ we all have been made one. The woman reached into her purse and took out a card, and she said that it was a portrait of Jesus that illustrated the meaning of Christian unity. When you looked at it from a distance, it was just the one face. But when you brought it close or got out a magnifying glass, you could see 48 different faces in there, young and old, black and white, all different colors of the spectrum, male and female. There they were, all kinds of people. They were young and old, all kind of different. All kinds of human expressions were right there in that painting, all symbolic of being children of God. In praying for us, not only did Christ carry us in his heart before the Father, but he made some very special requests. The first of these is for our unity. A divided church in many ways is a scandalous affront to the uniting work that Christ did on the cross, giving us salvation, and that we are to be the body of Christ that he has called us to be, himself in a sense upon this earth, telling the message of what he has done. And that's why we're called the body of Christ. And that unity that he desires for his church is the same kind of unity that he has with the Father. The real church is a body of men and women united to each other because they are united in Christ. Our unity as a body of Christ is our primary witness to the world, to the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. May they also be in us, Jesus prayed, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And we sing the song we sang it a couple of weeks ago. I started to call Mickey, but we just sang it. But you know, many of you know the song. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And then the chorus. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The content of that little song comes directly from the prayer of Jesus. If we want to witness for Christ, the first thing we have to do is to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are his family. We are a family here at Glenshaw Valley. And Christ is the head of our family. On the night before he was crucified, Christ prayed for us. He prayed that we might be unified as his body. This is where we draw our strength during times of need, when life gets very, very difficult. And this is our best way of witnessing to the truth that Christ is alive, and Christ is alive and at work in the world today through us, through our love, through our witness, through our unity. May God bless you. And again, happy Mother's Day. This time I'll call the parents forth for the baptism of Katrina and Jeremy Turner.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, he has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Knowing that the promises of God are with you by baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life. Friends, in presenting your child for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ. Show that you want your child to study him, to know him, love him, and serve him as his chosen disciple. I ask you these questions now. Who is your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend to show your child to be his disciple, to obey his word, and show his love? May not be a club, you know, still. Hey, James Turner, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And our clerk has a question to ask.
Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. You, the people of this church, promised to tell this new child the good news of the gospel, to help him know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship to strengthen his ties with the household of God.
We do.
And we'll have a prayer, and then following after the benediction, I'll have them come back to come and get another little look and welcome Kay into the church. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day, for mothers who mean so much to us, who teach us, who help us when we're hurt or when we're down, when we need encouragement, to bind us up and hold us close to them. Thank you for every good mother. And we thank you for this child today, Kay James Turner, that he has been baptized, and he is your child. And even one day will have that opportunity, that responsibility when he's a little older and knows what he's doing, to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and bring him in to his heart, going through his communion class and coming before the church and answering questions. Lord, we thank you for that, especially on this Mother's Day. In the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our closing hymn, 344, he's got the whole world in his hands. I invite you to come forward and see the Turner family.